Today we're starting on a new sermon series, the Book of Esther.
I love the Book of Esther. It's a beautiful story about how God turns all things from evil to good. God can make beautiful things out of terrible things. And so our topic for today is God's blessing of favor. God's blessing of favor. We all want God's favor, don't you? I do. I so much want God's favor. But very often, before the favor comes one step, and that step is called failure. Failure comes before favor. The good news is God can change our failure into His favor. And so the story starts with a Jewish girl named Hadassah. Hadassah, her life seems to be total failure. Both her parents had died. That's in Esther chapter 2, verse 7. And she was a nobody in a foreign land. What was this Jewish girl doing in another place, Babylon? It is because the king of Babylonia, that's Nebuchadnezzar, he had made war with Judah, defeated Judah, and carried off prisoners of war from Israel, from Judah, over to his kingdom. And so here was this girl, Hadassah, in a foreign land, without her parents. The only one that she had was her cousin, Mordecai, and he looked after her. Just being a Jew put her in great danger, put her in great peril. And so she wasn't even to tell people who she was, but she kept her identity a secret. So she wasn't even known by her Jewish name, Hadassah, but people knew her by her Persian name as Esther. What is the link between the Jewish name Hadassah and the Persian name Esther? Well, there are many theories about it. People say that it can mean roughly the same thing. Personally, I think they sound quite similar. And so if you can listen to the sound, Dessa, Hadassah, and Esther. And you hear that they sound almost the same. Dessa, Hadassah, and Esther. Quite similar. I think probably that's one connection. But if you consider the life of this girl Esther, a life of failure, no past to boast of, no present to rejoice in, no future to look forward to. And yet, it was just at this time where everything lost seemed lost for her, God was beginning to work in her life to change things around. And so now, we have a new king. His name is Xerxes. By now, the king is no longer Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the Babylonian Empire, Babylon had been defeated by the Medo-Persian Empire. And so now the new king was a Persian king. Xerxes is his Greek name. His Hebrew name is Ahasuerus. Xerxes held a great banquet. That's in Esther chapter 1. If you've ever been to Chinese dinners, especially Chinese wedding dinners, 10-course dinners, you know that Chinese dinners are famous for the yam sing culture, right? People drink, they toast, and they shout very loudly, yam sing, a drinking culture. If Chinese dinners have a drinking culture, how much more ancient Persian banquets, even more into liquor? There's a Greek historian by the name of Herodotus. And Herodotus records that the ancient... Can we have that slide, please? Herodotus records that the ancient Persians, they were great believers in drinking hard liquor because they believed that when they drank liquor, they were in touch with the spirit world. I think maybe there's some truth in that. You see, when you are sober, you're pretty much ruled by your intellect. But if you're drunk, you are ruled by something else. And so for the ancient Persians, the belief that when they were drunk, they were in touch with their spirit world. And so now, this is a scene in Esther chapter 1. The king has held a great banquet for many days. All his nobles, all his officials, they're very happy. They're very drunk. And amidst all this revelry, everyone's so drunk and so happy. Suddenly, the king calls for his queen, Esther. She's very beautiful. And so he says to Esther, come and display your great beauty in front of all these drunk men. You can imagine how his queen felt. But she refused to come. Of course, with everyone so drunk, why would she display her beauty in front of them? The problem is, King Xerxes was very humiliated because she had defied his orders in front of all his people, in front of all his nobles. And so, in anger, he divorced her. Esther chapter 2, verse 1 says, after these things, he was no longer angry, and he remembered Vashti. He remembered his queen. This phrase, after these things, historians tell us, is actually a very long period of time. It's something like 4 to 6 years. And we know this because historically, after Xerxes held this great banquet, he actually went to make war. The Persians made war with Greece. And they fought both on land and on sea. And the Greeks actually defeated the Persians. It was a long-drawn war, 4 to 6 years. And then after this, the Bible cryptically says, after this, simply like that, after this period of time, Xerxes remembered that he had divorced his wife. He began to get lonely. He began to wish he had a queen. His advisor said to him, why don't we make a search in the whole Persian Empire? Get beautiful young girls, young virgins from the whole empire. And then you, king, you get to choose. And the one that you like the best, she can be your new queen. So Xerxes thought, this is a very good idea. And this is how the search began. And this was the turning point where God began to change Esther's life from failure into favor. And so we pause here and I ask, where is your life right now? Are you in failure? Everything seems to go wrong for you? Or are you in favor? You receive God's blessings daily. For those of us who are in failure, let's take heart. Because even as God could change things for Esther, so he can change things for us. You know, I'm reading a book right now. It's a very gripping book, a book by Sid Roth. And it's called They Thought for Themselves. This is a book about how Jewish people come to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, their personal Savior and Messiah. One such person is a man called David Yaniv. David Yaniv. Where's the slide, please? David Yaniv. He's a Jewish man, and he was living in Israel, working on a farm. One day he was in a cow shed, a place where they look after cows. The floor was slippery, it was wet, and he fell down. He fell flat on his back. The pain was so terrible, he immediately went to hospital. And there they took x-rays. But then they said, x-rays show nothing wrong. Just go home and take painkillers. He did, but the pain was so terrible, he went to hospital again. Again they took x-rays. Again they said, nothing wrong with you. You go home and you take painkillers. Do you know, the pain was so terrible, he multiplied his painkillers. When you are in pain, how many painkillers do you take in one day? I think maximum 8 in one day, if I'm not wrong. David Yaniv was in such terrible pain. He took 50 painkillers a day, every day for 3 years. That's crazy. That's a crazy amount of painkillers. That's how much pain he was in. Finally, after 3 years, he tried a different hospital in Tel Aviv. This time, they took a different kind of x-ray, and this time the results came back. David had 2 slipped discs. 2 slipped discs. Well, no wonder he was in such terrible pain. But the doctor said to him, we can operate, and after operating, you'll be in hospital for 10 days. After that, you can go home, good as new. Well, David was very happy. He said, let's do it. So he went for the operation. But the unthinkable happened. The operation went wrong. And the surgeon actually cut too low. And he cut into the nerve such that David couldn't walk. He became paralyzed. And the surgeon said to him, you are going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. Can you imagine the frustration, the anger that David was in? First, 3 terrible years of pain, and now paralysis, totally couldn't walk. So by now, David was so angry, he was just hating everyone, not forgiving anyone, especially the surgeon. Most of all, he hated himself. He hated his own life. Even the psychiatrist gave up on him because the psychiatrist found that David was so full of self-pity and he just couldn't let go. He couldn't forgive anyone. And so the surgeon was top on his list, his hate list. The psychiatrist gave up on him. The next 7.5 years were passed like this. Physically, David was paralyzed. Emotionally, also paralyzed because he couldn't love, he couldn't forgive. One day, David decided to watch TV. Now, Israeli TV started at 2 p.m. And so, nothing to watch. He turned on to Lebanese TV. And this show was on the Lebanese TV. It's a show called The 700 Club. 700 Club is actually an American Christian show. When David watched it, he knew this is a Christian show. David wasn't Christian. He was a Jew. As a Jew, he was into Judaism. And for people in Judaism, they reject Jesus. They reject Yeshua. They say he is not the Messiah. So David knew this is a Christian show. But he kept watching it simply because there were lots of healing testimonies. And he loved to watch healing testimonies. He watched it every day. Several months later, after watching this TV show, he became convicted and he prayed to receive Yeshua, Jesus, as his personal Savior. That's wonderful. But the news got even better because 5 months after his salvation, one day when he was watching this show, he heard a word of knowledge spoken by the Holy Spirit through the co-host. The co-host was a lady named Danuta Soderman. Danuta Soderman. As she was co-hosting the 700 Club, Holy Spirit gave to her a word of knowledge, which was this. There is someone who's been paralyzed for some time, and you will feel a warm sensation in your body, and you will be healed. Wow. When David heard that, he was so excited. You know, he had been paralyzed 7.5 years, and he said, this is for me. This word of knowledge is for me. I'm the one. Oh, Lord, please let me be the one. Unfortunately, no warm sensation. He felt nothing in his body. And so, once again, he was very deeply disappointed. But that very same night, 10 p.m., David was at home in bed reading his Bible. Suddenly, an electric shock hit him. An electric current came through his body from his spine right down to his toes. And the electricity was so strong that his legs kept shaking, very high up. And this continued for a while until the electricity stopped. And then David just fell asleep. The next day when he woke up, he said to his wife, I can feel something in my legs, he said. You know, 7.5 years paralyzed, he couldn't feel anything. The next morning, he said to his wife, I can feel something in my legs. And good wife that she was, she said to him, rubbish. You can't feel anything in your legs. So she said, let's do a test. She said, close your eyes. He did. She took a pin and she began to prick him in different places of his leg and his toes, his feet. And everywhere she pricked with his eyes closed, he could tell her the exact spot where she had pricked. And so she knew, wow, this is really something. You can feel something. It's a miracle. So she said to him, quick, go to the doctor and see what has happened. He went to the doctor. Doctor did tests. The doctor couldn't explain. So the doctor said, go to hospital. He went to hospital. Hospital did tests. They couldn't explain. So they said, come back 1 week later. And when 1 week later, when David came back to the hospital, there was gathered in the hospital doctors, surgeons, neurosurgeons, neurologists from all over Israel. They all came to see him. Even the surgeon who had botched up his operation, he came. And they were all there. And they all interviewed David and they did tests. At the end of it, they all concluded, we cannot explain this. This is a medical miracle. And David said to them, no, it's not a medical miracle. This is Yeshua. This is the healing of Yeshua. And they were so furious with him, they refused to believe. Because Jewish people do not accept Jesus, Yeshua, as Messiah. They refuse to believe. But he was adamant, this is Yeshua, this is a miracle from Jesus. During the 7.5 years where David was paralyzed, because he couldn't use his legs, his leg muscles died completely. The doctor said to him, your leg muscles will never grow again. But God healed him stage by stage. First, the feeling. And then later, his muscles began to grow again, began to get stronger, began to get bigger, until David was walking like a normal person. Amen. Praise God. A tremendous, tremendous miracle. David's life turned from total failure into favor. It can happen. It happened to David. It happened to Esther also. In Esther chapter 2, we find the word favor used 3 times. That's when you read it in English. But if you read it in Hebrew, you find that different words for favor are used. And so here is Esther 2:15. It says, now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Here, the Hebrew word for favor is hain. I know, it's written as chen. We are Chinese people, so we read it as chen. But no, it's not chen. It's pronounced as hain, like gain. This is hain. Hain means favor, but it also means acceptance, acceptance. And it comes from a root word, hanan, which means to bend down, to stoop down, like a superior helping an inferior. So Esther won the hain, won the favor of everyone who saw her. Now I ask you, why would Esther win the favor of everyone who saw her? Was it because she was really so beautiful? She was more beautiful than everyone else? Personally, I don't think so. You know, there were so many beautiful young virgins chosen for the king to look at. How many of them? Well, we are not told exactly, but the Bible gives us clues. So, in Esther chapter 2, verse 3, it says that beautiful young virgins were chosen from every province in the Persian Empire. How many provinces? Esther 1:1 says that Xerxes ruled this huge landmass from India to Ethiopia, a total of more than 127 provinces. So, how many virgins? Minimum 127, very likely many more, because a province could have more than one beautiful girl. What I'm saying is this. If you see so many beautiful women, can you really tell who's the most beautiful? Can you really? I think it's very difficult. Have you ever watched Korean TV? Have you watched Korean TV? When you first watch, maybe you are struck, oh, this actress is beautiful, this actor is so handsome. But you know, after watching so many Korean shows, and I have, after a while, you really don't know who's the most beautiful, who's the most handsome, because after a while, honestly, they all look the same. At least to me, I think to you too. So many beautiful young virgins in the Persian Empire. And don't forget, they had natural beauty to begin with, but that wasn't enough. The Bible says they were given 12 months, 1 year of beauty treatments. Oh, beauty treatments, the best ointments, the best perfume. If you read the Hebrew words, there's also the idea of scouring. Scouring, as in, you know, when you take some loofah to rub your skin to make it more tender, softer. Maybe they did on their face, I don't know. But 12 months of beauty treatments. So I'm saying, beautiful to begin with. After 12 months of beauty treatments, extremely beautiful, and so many of them. Could you really say Esther was the most beautiful? I don't think so. I think she won favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her because she had something different about her, an inner beauty, her personality. And I will speak more about this later. The other Hebrew word used in Esther chapter 2 for favor is hesed. And this is used in Esther chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "And the young woman pleased him and won his favor." Hesed. The man in this verse is Haggai. Haggai is a eunuch, and he was in charge looking after all the young virgins. Esther won his favor. The word is hesed. The word hesed is favor, just like hain is favor. But hesed has a deeper meaning. It's a greater favor. And so you can see from the screen that Esther, she won hain in the eyes of those who saw her. She won acceptance. Those who saw her accepted her. But for this person, Haggai, she won hesed, which is mercy, kindness, loving kindness, goodness. As I said, a greater kind of favor. Because with hesed, you actually go out of your way to do something good for another person. Haggai liked her so much that this is what he did for her. Again, Esther 2 verse 9 says, "He quickly provided her with her cosmetics and her portion of food, choice food, and with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace, and advanced her and her young women to the best place in the harem." What is the best place in the harem? We are left to imagination. Maybe the place that's the most breezy, with the best air. Maybe the place with the most beautiful view. Maybe the place where if you're there, you will simply be happy. Whatever it was, he put her in the best part of the harem. He showed her hesed, the kind of favor, so that he went out of his way to do good for her. And so I ask you, a eunuch is not supposed to like women because a eunuch is castrated. Why would a eunuch like Esther so much that he would favor her by blessing her with all of this? Just her physical beauty? I doubt it. I think it was her inner beauty, a graciousness in her speech, her humility. Many years ago, when I was a journalist, I was interviewing a man, and this man was talking about beauty. And he said he once met a very beautiful woman, really very stunning to look at, really outrageously good looking, until she opened her mouth. Because when she opened her mouth, out of her mouth came expletives, came vulgar language, came cursing, came swearing. And so when she opened her mouth and spoke all these things, the man said to himself, "This is not a beautiful woman." You see, to be beautiful, you need more than outward beauty, but you need an inner beauty, an inner graciousness, which I believe Esther had. There's one more verse that talks about favor, Esther 2:17. It says, "The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins." The word for favor here is also the word hesed. You know, it is not stated, but because the word hesed is used, I believe there's an implication that when Xerxes loved Esther, he showed her everything that hesed is. Hesed is mercy, kindness, goodness, loving kindness. In other words, a very beautiful verse that the king, in choosing Esther to be the new queen, he showered all kinds of goodness upon her, all kinds of favor. And so now suddenly, Esther's life got changed from orphan to queen of the largest empire of the world at that time. Why was she so blessed by God to have favor in the eyes of everyone, to have favor in the eyes of the eunuch and the king? I believe she learned inner beauty. This is something that we can all learn, regardless of how we actually look physically. Inwardly, we can learn to have beauty. You see, when life seemed unfair to her, when she lost her parents, when she had no one to look after her but her cousin. She could have been very bitter, but instead, she learned to be grateful to God. She learned to treasure the person that God put in her life, her very own cousin. She learned obedience. Everything her cousin told her to do, she would do. She learned inner beauty. This kind of inner beauty is not something that comes naturally, but very often it comes through trials and hardships. When we have trials and hardships, we react, don't we? We react negatively. And yet these can be God's blessings to us, because it's through trials and hardship that we learn inner beauty. It's actually what Jesus himself went through. Jesus on the cross, he went through tremendous failure, tremendous humiliation, suffering, pain, defeat, even in the worldly sense. And yet, after this agonizing death of failure, Jesus won the tremendous favor of God. And so after Jesus rose from the dead, this is what he could say in Matthew 28. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And behold, I am with you always." All authority in heaven and on earth. There is no greater authority. This was the tremendous favor that God gave to him. From failure to favor. And Jesus said, "I am with you always." Do you know the tremendous implication? God the Father bestowed favor on Jesus. Jesus will bestow favor on us when we walk, when we go out in his will. Amen. In conclusion, I'd like to share with you my personal experience of how God changed me from a life of failure. In January this year, I was warded in hospital for pneumonia. It was a terrible time for me. You know, pneumonia is a respiratory sickness, a sickness of the lungs, a disease of the lungs. And depending on severity, you can even die from pneumonia. So before I was warded, I was actually coughing a lot, simply could not stop coughing. My resistance was so low, my immunity was so low. If I was in a room with other people and they were coughing or sneezing, I'm just sure to fall sick. No immunity at all. And when I was in hospital, I knew I was in big trouble, because this wasn't my first time with pneumonia, but it was my second time of being warded with pneumonia in just over 4 years. Second time already. And so I knew I was very sick and in serious trouble. One night when I was in hospital, I couldn't sleep. I was very tired, but I just couldn't sleep. And that was when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said to me, "He will heal me of every sickness and every disease." I was overjoyed. Holy Spirit said, "He's going to heal me of every sickness and every disease." I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "But there is something that you must do." I said, "Yes, Holy Spirit, what is it?" And he said, "You must lose weight. You must lose weight." And I'm thinking, lose weight? And then he showed me, he explained to me the link between my being overweight and every sickness that I had, and I had so many. He showed me the link, and after he explained everything, I said, "Yes, I will lose weight. I'm determined to lose weight. Only problem is, I don't know how, because I've tried many times before, and I failed many times before. It is not easy to lose weight." That was at night in hospital. The next morning, my specialist came to see me, my pneumonia specialist. She looked at me, she said, "June, you must lose weight." I'm thinking, "Wow, you're my pneumonia specialist, and why are you telling me to lose weight?" But I knew that this was God sent, that God had brought her. And so step by step, she told me everything that I need to do to actually lose weight. And when she was talking, she thought that I would resist, because that's what most of her patients do. You see, her patients, they will take any medicine that she wants to give to them. But when she says lose weight, they just say no. They're not going to change their diet. They're not going to change anything. They get very resistant. She thought I would be resistant also. But no, I accepted everything that she said simply because the night before, Holy Spirit had already told me to lose weight. In the days that followed, I realized I am so sick that actually a little bit of dieting here and there is not going to work. But what I need is a total change in lifestyle. And by the grace of God, He has enabled me to make changes. And so there are photos. The photo on the left was taken in January. It was taken just a few days before I was warded. And it, you can see it shows you can see. The photo on the right was taken in June, just last month. And during this time, the Lord has enabled me by His grace. I lost 8 kg, which is about 17 pounds, in a six-month period. And it wasn't easy, but by God's grace, I was able to do it. In this time, God healed me of 4 major sicknesses that I had. I won't say I've been healed of all. I've got so many, I still got some way to go. But I believe that the Lord, who has started a good work in me, He will bring it to completion. And so, my life has changed from failure. Failure, not because of what God did to me, but failure because of what I did to myself. Through my own wrong eating, through my own wrong lifestyle, I brought failure and sickness upon myself. But God has brought me to favor already. Do you desire God's favor in your life? Whether it's for health, finances, family, relationships, job. Do you desire God's favor? Let's turn to Him in prayer. Let's close our eyes, come before Him. Hallelujah. Father, I give you thanks, Lord, that it is your goodwill to bless us. It is your goodwill to change us and to take us out of the failure that we've made of our lives. Father, you even give to us hardships and trials to refine us, to purify us, to make us into better people, more beautiful people. And Lord, I pray for every brother and sister here who's crying out to you today, the needs that are in our lives, Father, only you know. Father, even as we cry out to you, I pray, Lord, that you speak personally to each one of us. The things you want to do for us, the things that you want us to change, the people you want us to forgive. And Father, that we would not be paralyzed emotionally, but truly we would learn to love the way you want us to love. So Father, I thank you that you will do a great work in all our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.